how long has the Creative Loafing Fiction Contest been taking place?
We're in our 12th year now. The general idea is each year that we give readers a theme, you know. And this year we went with something that I would say, most people would say, is, you know, a cliche, this phrase, the meaning of life. But I think because of that, we had some really interesting responses that tried to invert that, to try and give something that, because the theme was a cliche, to respond to it in a non-cliche way.
What made this story by Abigail Greenbaum really stand out as the clear winner?
One of the things I look for in a story is to read about characters that seem like individuals, that seem like humans that I know. At the center of the story is a married couple that are experiencing something that's rather common, this decision to whether or not to have a child. And the way that they respond to that are responses that you know, I've never read before in fiction and I've never seen before in life, but they also seem entirely real. And it felt like I was always turning onto something new with each page. I couldn't have expected any of the events of the story. And I think that starts off with this wonderful image that she gives us at the beginning that's a little bit creepy, which is a book bound in human skin.
Yes.
And that sounds horrific, but it's made normal by the fact that her husband is somebody who's taking this book to a conservator, and that it's the story that we're quite familiar with, The Dance of Death, which is a sort of memento mori story.
So, yeah, trying to sort of enforce to people who would view it that this will happen to you, too.
Right. It's death doing the same normal things that we would do, going to the town square, going to wherever, dancing in a field. And the narrator latches on to this idea.
And this is a couple considering having a baby. And I don't know, what do you think is the link there between the presence of death in this book, in a book covered by human skin, which is literally a dead individual, and this idea of conceiving a child?
One of the things that's grand and beautiful about the idea of having a child is the idea that you yourself and it will live on through a family. But I think this book, in a certain sort of way, is this other consideration, that there are other ways that we continue on into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe having a child is one of them, and maybe these objects or works of art are another way to live past our own death.
The story's narrator does not strike me as being an immediately likable one. What makes her compelling to you?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, she does a lot of things that I think people would just think are awful. She's lying to her husband. She's still taking birth control pills and telling him that, oh, we're trying to conceive. Yeah, you go, oh, man, this isn't a person that I want to be friends with, right? But in the same sort of way, I think the fact that she's opening up with us, the reader, and telling us these things, we think, oh, okay, we know we have these secrets too. You know, we maybe say one thing and do the other. Like someone like Flannery O'Connor, for example, you know, writes these stories that are full of these mean mothers and bad preachers and you know, con men and all of these unlikable people, and it at times seems cruel in her stories, the way mean people do mean things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also refreshing to see in a story that you allow your characters to do the bad things that people actually do in the world. And I think sometimes with fiction, when we're reaching for likable characters, we're also getting a limited range of what people actually are.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the story before we give a portion of it a listen?
I don't know. I think that's about it.
Wyatt Williams, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So here it is, a portion of In Case of Emergency, Good Luck by Abigail Greenbaum, the winning short story in this year's Creative Loafing Fiction Contest.
I insisted the book ride shotgun while I sat in back. After all, I said to my husband as he steered out of Providence, who's worth more in this equation? Dollar value, I mean, not any sentimental crap. Me or the book? The book, it should be noted, was bound in human skin. Anthropodermic bibliopagy, Nathan had explained on an early date. This is the kind of thing I learned from him. Since the 17th century, kings and doctors have rebound books in human skin. If the magistrate in your dukedom convicted a murderer, why not use the hanged man's love handles to cover the court records? You have to watch out. Some have faked it with calf and sheep. But this book was Honest Abraham, the skin as human as it comes. Why don't you go with me, Nathan had said the night before he drove the book 2 hours down 95 to the country's most esteemed book conservator. That book has always been your favorite thing about my job. Nathan's eyes widened in the rear view as if he were an animated heroine. Will you please come sit up front? He said. Be gentle with me, he pleaded in every slightest movement that he made, for I am gentle with the world. I leaned forward between the two front seats and palmed the locked box that held the book. If this were a courtroom, I'd be perjuring myself on a volume called Dance of Death. I often asked to see it when I picked Nathan up from work. On each page, woodcuts by some famous engraver depict a hooded, scythe-carrying death positioned nonchalantly in daily scenes. Death is shepherd. Death goes to market. Death sits through Wednesday Mass. Nathan held his palm against the vent, then fiddled at the AC. It just doesn't seem cool enough in here. He pulled a thermometer from the breast pocket of his pale green collared shirt and squinted at the tiny numbers. It has to be cool like the library. Brake lights loomed up the interstate. Watch the road, I said. He grabbed at the wheel, and the thermometer sailed from his grasp. It slapped against the gear shift and rolled below the pedals, out of reach. Do you think it was a choice you could make? I said, as we passed the first signs for Foxwood Casino. Like organ donation? The skin is an organ. It could be cool, no? I'd consider it. I rubbed my palm over Nathan's cheek. Just imagine, your face in the hands of kings, conserved forever. Isn't that what we're all so afraid about? That after we die, we just disappear, leave nothing behind? Bess, he said, please. We'd spent the last year, year two of our marriage, trying for a baby. In any case, that's what Nathan thought we were doing. He wanted a baby. Look at how he burped my sister Alice's number three and number four over his broad shoulders. Twins, he'd say, beaming. You might have the right stuff for twins. Alice would corner me by her dwarf ficus. What is wrong with you? She said. I saw pills in your purse. Does he even know?